Please be seated. So to all the people who may be visiting Holy Cross this morning, a warm welcome. To all the non-people who are visiting Holy Cross this morning, woof, woof, meow, and So I'm real happy to see a diversity of people in the congregation this morning because it is the Women's Retreat Sunday, and so I had visions of only men here half-starved to death, begging weekly for help in microwaving Stouffer's Lean Cuisine. So it's nice to see that there are more than just men here this morning. So I'd like to talk about two topics that I think are raised by this morning's gospel reading. And the first topic is the question, how can I possibly find the strength to do all the things that God has called on me to do? And the second question actually flows from the first. Can I actually make a difference? And the reason I wonder this is because, you know, lately the world at times has seemed a real dark and terrible place. For many people, job security never came back from the recession. Income inequality is rising. Homelessness is rising. We are constantly bombarded by attempts to manipulate facts. And we experience social media being used to denigrate and attack. We're constantly lied to by institutions of authority. Racial injustice in this country continues, and overt racism and religious bigotry have reemerged from the shadows. And I'll tell you frankly, I sometimes let the enormity of all this reduce me to a feeling of helplessness. Maybe that's happened to you too. I know that God has called me to fight back. I know that God has called you to fight back. I know that I have been told to love God with all my heart and all my mind and to love my neighbor as myself. I know I should do this. But sometimes I wonder, how could I possibly summon the faith that's needed? Now, usually when I wrestle with this kind of spiritual dilemma, reading scripture helps, but it doesn't always, particularly if you start with the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, it seems to just be full of stories with people who are pillars of faith and do wonderful things as a result. Look at Abraham's faith as he prepared to sacrifice his son. Moses' faith was so strong that we're told in scripture, God spoke to him face to face as one speaks to a friend. Golly. Also in the Old Testament, things don't always go so well for people whose faith is found lacking. Just ask Lot's wife or anybody else who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Even Israel, God's chosen people, fail the faith test repeatedly. So we're told today in the reading from Lamentations that Jerusalem has been conquered because of the multitude of her transgressions. Okay, so to summarize at this point in this little jaunt through the OT, there seem to be plenty of places where it takes tremendous faith to address important things. And Israel flames out more often than the good guy superheroes in the first half of a Marvel movie. So it's really not a surprise at the beginning of today's reading in Luke that the apostles beg Jesus to increase our faith. We're not sure we're up to this task. So what Jesus says in reply is actually pretty interesting. In the NRSV version, which is what we Episcopalians use as our standard text, you just heard Jesus reply, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Okay, I think I understand that metaphor, although I don't quite get why the seed and the tree sort of relate. Scholars actually think that what's happening here in Luke is that he's combined two thoughts from prior scripture. In Matthew, there's a Q-source metaphor that talks about mustard seed faith. You may remember that. And in Mark, there's a passage about a fig tree and faith in God moving a mountain into the sea. Luke was probably written after Mark and Matthew, so this is like a 2,000-year foreshadowing of a mixtape. I see some puzzled faces. If you don't know what a mixtape is, ask somebody under 40. So sometimes for me, reading a different translation of the Bible for the same passage can make things clearer. I really like a translation of the Bible that's called The Message which was prepared by a late Presbyterian theologian named Eugene Peterson. In fact, he just died recently. So rather than being a literal translation like the NRSV is, the Message tries to use language that's similar to contemporary conversation, the way we talk to each other now. So listen to Luke from the Message. The apostles came up and said to the Master, "Give us more faith." But the Master said, "You don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, 'Go jump in the lake,' and it would do it." That's a little clearer to me. There is no more or less in faith. If you have faith, you have enough faith. Much, much more than you realize or I realize. And indeed, once your eyes are open on that score, you can find throughout Luke examples of humble people whose quiet faith is enough. The woman who anoints Jesus' feet, the blind beggar who wants to see, the Samaritan leper, the bleeding woman. So listen to what Jesus is telling us all through Luke. If we have faith, we do have enough faith, and each of us can do great things with it, because the power of our faith does not come from within us. It comes from God. This is what Paul is reminding Timothy in today's epistle. Again, listen to this in the translation from the Message. "We can only keep going on, after all, by the power of God, who first saved us and then called us to this holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us and Jesus long before we knew anything about it. But we know it now." So remember, the first question I wanted to talk about was, do I have the strength I need to do God's work? Luke 17 is a pretty encouraging answer. Your faith comes from a source of unlimited power. Okay, you're sitting in the pews this morning. Think about that for a moment. You can draw on God's energy right now. Do you get a glimmer of that kind of possibility? Think about it. You and everyone sitting around you could literally move a mountain. Now, please don't get carried away and try that. I don't think our insurance covers it. But it's interesting to think of you and the person sitting next to you in a wholly different light. So now to the second question. The problems are so big. Can we make a difference? Here, I think the references that I made to the other parts of Luke are really relevant. The message from Jesus is we fix the world one local problem at a time, and that when we help, it completely changes the lives of the people that we do help, like the blind beggar. Have you participated in the Holy Cross Porridge Program this year? We didn't end hunger in Africa, but think of the impact you made on the student that you fed and their family. Have you helped make sandwiches with the Outreach Committee? We haven't ended hunger in the United States, but think how what you did may have given a hungry person hope as well as nourishment. Have you worked on the altar this year at Holy Cross? Not everyone in the world is yet a Christian, but you have helped all the people sitting in the pews around you to have a deeper relationship with God. I think sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. Does my individual effort, my service to Christ, fix all the problems? No. But have each of us, through our community at Holy Cross and our work in the world, produce some micro miracles? Yes. You know, our stewardship campaign is about to kick off, and I hope that I've helped set the stage for that next week. But even more important, I hope that the sermon this morning has helped you take back a feeling of power as an individual Christian over what can seem like a rising tide of evil in the world. Our faith is strong enough if we believe it is. We are Christians, and we will not let evil defeat us. So Grace Episcopal Cathedral in San Francisco publishes online registry, I guess, of prayers, you might call it. And they have a prayer that I think is pretty much on point for this morning. And so I'd like to close with it. So I invite you to join me in prayer. Dear Lord, when even darkens our world, give us light. When despair numbs our souls, give us hope. When we stumble and fall, lift us up. When doubts assail us, give us faith. When nothing seems sure, give us trust. When ideals fade, give us vision. When we lose our way, be our guide, that we may find serenity in your presence and purpose in doing your will. Amen.